Charlotte.
And I'm Helly, and welcome to Growth in Progress, the podcast where we have open and honest conversations about things that aren't usually discussed, but that can help us all to grow.
In each episode, we spend some time catching up and sharing something we've really been enjoying recently. And then we go on to discuss a topic that we think is really relevant to right now, the kind of things that people often think about but aren't necessarily having the open and honest conversations about. If you enjoy this episode or any of our other episodes, please don't forget to hit subscribe and also leave us a 5-star review, because it really does make a difference to other people discovering the podcast and helps us to keep doing this. So how have you been, my dear?
I've been good. I've had a haircut this week, which has been very exciting.
I'm so jealous. Mine is, oh my God, mine's the day this podcast episode goes live. I can't wait.
Oh, that's soon. That's soon. I thought you were going to say it's not till like June or something like that.
No. Only a week.
It was so nice though. I've never really been someone who's that fussed about getting my hair done, but after the catastrophic error I made with my last box dye, it was it was really, really needed.
I feel like everyone has a moment where they try and box dye their hair and it's fine, and then one day it just goes really wrong and then you just can't ever face it again. I remember it happened to me at uni. My hair went almost black.
Yeah, I've box dyed for years. I don't know what I did, but this one was so patchy. I got there and I actually felt embarrassed. She was like, "Yeah, we're gonna have to just try and fix this first before." Oh my God, yeah, I know it's really bad. I should literally be an advert for why people shouldn't box dye their hair.
You should be the before and after. Yes. But it looks good now.
Thank you.
Like, you are the perfect advert for why you should pay a professional to do your hair, because your hair looks cracking now.
Thanks.
It didn't look that bad before. Like, I never noticed.
Because I disguised it all the time. This is the joy of Zoom life, isn't it?
Also true. Also very true.
What have you been up to?
Not an awful lot. I've re-downloaded TikTok and it's been a bit of like a bottomless pit, because all I do is... You know, oh my God, I'm going to leave the person who I'm obsessed with below, because I just howl at their videos. But it's like rich white lady part whatever. And there's like 39 parts. And it's this guy who pretends to be like a rich white lady in a movie. And it's all set to the Big Little Lies theme tune. And it's like rich white lady is out for dinner with her friends and then remembers that her husband is having an affair and gazes longingly into the distance. So I've not been up to an awful lot, nothing too exciting or cultural to report, but you know.
So you went to a brewery?
Oh, I did go to, how did I forget? I did go to a brewery last week.
Do you need me to recap your last week for you?
Yeah, if you could, that would be helpful. I did go to a brewery, went to the West Berkshire Brewery. Do you know what? It was so lovely to go out and just be outside and around people and people watching and catching up with friends and being able to order a drink from a menu and have someone bring it to you. It was so exciting. It was really exciting. And I met a puppy called Frank. He was gorgeous.
Oh, the best.
I got to cuddle him. He was the sweetest little thing in the world. God, actually loads of exciting things have happened other than TikTok. you know, it's actually been quite an exciting week. Actually, I did loads. I went out on the Sunday as well and went to the pub again, and we had Domino's in a park, which actually doesn't sound very classy at all, does it? But we know we were serving food and we were hungry, so we ended up sitting in a park eating Domino's. But, you know, I feel like unless you are one of the hyper-organised people who booked somewhere months ago, we've all had to sit there eating a Domino's or an M&S meal deal or whatever in the park before we go for drinks recently.
Oh yeah, I've not eaten out yet. I can't deal with that. Although I might do it for a Sunday roast. There's a pub that I walked to last week and I'm obsessed with their gravy. Like pre-Australia, I was obsessed with the gravy. And this is basically the reason why I want to go back. And I went for drinks at the last weekend and I could smell the gravy and I just couldn't stop thinking about it. And now I need to book a table. This is ridiculous. This is like when I got obsessed with sweet corn.
Oh my God, I forgot you got obsessed with sweet corn. This is like, I know you're not Northern. I know you're a Midlander, but is Midlander a word?
Yeah.
And okay, good. But your love of gravy has made you sound extremely Northern then.
Yeah, when I say I like it on chips, that's when like you really separate the Northerners from the Southerners, isn't it?
I've never had gravy on chips.
There we go.
I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I quite like gravy, but I don't know if I want chips with gravy.
Wait until you try cheesy chips with gravy.
I can see why that would be appealing. Yeah, I can understand
well,
that.
They call it poutine in Canada, and it's a thing. So I'm just going to say it's on trend.
It is a thing. I know this because I've saved somewhere in my Instagram saves of somewhere that does vegan poutine for when I eventually get to Toronto.
Ooh, like, yes.
We're meant to go last year. We're not going this year. It better be bloody good by the time I get it, let's put it that way. But I feel like the podcast has taken a really weird turn this week. I swear we haven't had a drink, although it does sound like we have. Anywho, should we move on to our recommendations? Can you recommend something, please, to get us out of the poutine chat?
Well, I was going to say, I'm actually going to take the podcast more highbrow with this recommendation, I feel like, because it's a financial recommendation.
Oh, wow. I know. Okay. Feels very grown up.
I know. We got very adult all of a sudden. But my recommendation this week is a podcast called Small Change. And it's a really cool podcast. I actually found it because one of their most recent episodes is called The Best Holidays Don't Need to Cost a Bomb. It's bi-weekly episodes, and they're just small bite-sized, like 5-minute long episodes, but they all contain small things that you can do to make a big difference to your finances. So they're like easy to action tips, and they have actual experts on. So it's not just like some random person giving tips that they've used. They're actual like financial advisors, finance experts. They have people come on from like the Women's Financial Support Society, and they're very like niche and specialized, but there's something really for everyone. So they talk about credit cards, they talk about finding cheaper holidays, like how to set your spending goals, like secrets that make saving easy, like supermarket hacks so you can save more money in your shop, tips for getting mortgage free faster. Like, they're loads of little episodes and they're really short, so it's not kind of like that horrible overwhelming feeling of when you talk about finances and it just feels like a complete drain. You can just listen to them and it gives you some tips and some ideas. And even though it is an Australian podcast, the tips are general enough that you would be able to look into them or like apply them to your own circumstances. I definitely think if you're a bit intimidated by finances and everything surrounding that, that this is a really good podcast to kind of ease you in if it is something you usually try and avoid.
I love the sound of that. I feel like we haven't spoken about money on the podcast for ages.
I know.
We should circle back and chat money, because it's something I know both of us love talking about, because it is something that people don't talk about enough. And there's so much stigma around, especially savings and credit cards and knowing everything to do with finance, and yet no one talks about it. But I love that that is really accessible, because it is only 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You can easily take it in and understand it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really, it's not overwhelming at all. And it may or may not be life-changing information, but for me, just listening to it, it really gave me ideas and different, I think it's that different way of thinking about money as well. When you hear a different perspective or advice from someone who is a professional and it's in that bite-sized kind of format, it's so much easier to take in and kind of think about how it could support you in your own situation.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, isn't it, where it's when you know these things, when you know about money and you know like easy ways to save, etc., it becomes really obvious and that you get into really good habits, like, oh, put money into your savings on payday, don't wait till the end of the month. But until people tell you, you don't know.
Yeah.
So it's like a self-fulfilling thing. You can never actually get better at being good with money until someone shares the secrets, as it were. I love that sound, the sound of that.
Yeah, highly recommend. What's your recommendation this week?
This week's recommendation is an article that was on the New York Times, and it's called There's a Name for the Blah You're Feeling. It's called Languishing.
I read this.
Did you?
Yeah.
I was going to send it to you earlier, and then I didn't because I'm going to recommend it. I like the organic reactions. So it came up on like my news app or something, that like Glamour had written about the article. And it was really interesting, and I clicked on it because it's exactly how I've been feeling. For the past couple of weeks, I've just felt a really feeling. Like, I've not felt sad and anxious or depressed or like overwhelmed. I've just not felt good. And it's almost like that feeling of like real boredom and dragging. And I honestly thought I was the only person. And then I saw this article. I was like, wow. And in the article, they referred to it as the neglected middle child of mental health and how it can dull your motivation, focus, and it might be the dominant emotion of 2021. It's a really interesting article. And it goes on to talk about how actually this is something so many of us are feeling. We're not talking about it because we almost don't deem it serious enough. And it isn't burnout, it's not depression, it's something else. And after a year where it has been so intense and we've dealt with uncertainty and grief and anguish, it's almost like there's a void now and this is a new emotion we're all feeling. And it's just really, it was really, really interesting. He goes on to say how there's so much power in naming a feeling.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really fascinating. And how just by naming it, sometimes it can take away some of the power and it normalizes it. And then he shares a few different tips within the article of different ways you can try and break through this feeling. So I will leave it linked because it is really helpful. It is behind the New York Times paywall, but I think you get a couple of articles free every month or so.
So if you do want to read it and you can't get past the paywall, the reason I saw it is because the entire article was shared as a carousel on the Shit You Should Care About Instagram page.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's cool.
So if you want to read it and you can't get past the paywall, it's also there.
Okay, cool. We'll I'll leave that linked as well. But it was just a really interesting article and I just thought it perfectly summed up exactly how I feel right now.
Yeah, I felt exactly the same when I read it because it's, I totally agree, it's not depression. And yes, I've felt anxious at some points, but it's, I can't even 100% say that it's been anxiety either. It's just been this weird, exactly that, like blah, like you just can't, you can't describe it. And being able to put a word to it just does kind of pins it down a bit more and almost, well, it's comforting, isn't it, to know that there's other people feeling that enough that it's in the New York Times as well.
Yeah, totally. And the part I thought was really interesting was when he says part of the danger is that when you're languishing, you might not notice the dulling of delight or the dwindling of drive. You don't catch yourself slipping slowly into solitude. You're indifferent to indifference. You're indifferent to your indifference. When you can't see your own suffering, you don't seek help or even do much to help yourself. And I think that sums it up so perfectly. Because it is that thing of like, it's such a slow and steady burn. You almost wake up and go, it's not quite right.
Yeah. And it's that thing where you just dismiss how you're feeling because you're like, oh, I'm fine. Like there's not actually, I can't pin down what's wrong with me. So like pull it together. There's nothing wrong with you. You're fine. You end up dismissing how you're actually feeling because you can't pin down what it is.
Yeah. Because you're like, oh, there's a vaccine coming and I'm healthy and I've got a lovely home and I've got a good job and all of this. I'm like, I should be feeling on top of the world. But I think we all fall into that trap of thinking, because X is really good, I should feel like Y. And it isn't as simple as that. Like, it's what we were saying. Do you remember ages ago you shared an article about how we're about to be gaslit into thinking the last, like, however many months weren't that bad?
Yeah.
It's exactly that.
Yeah.
We need to remember that it has been a really tough year, year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So this week we wanted to have a talk about burnout culture and the glamorization of it, because burnout is a huge issue in our society and our culture today, when there's an expectation of that always on culture, to have emails on your phone and work longer hours and to be seen to be having that side hustle, but also a great social life and a great family and all of that. But I think as we're coming out of lockdown and returning somewhat to normal, it's going to be a huge shift in our lives and in our routines. And I think it's more important now than ever to be aware of that burnout and the impact of that transition back to normal, in inverted commas, because it is going to have a huge impact on our well-being, I think. And I do feel like post-lockdown burnout is going to be a thing that's underrated, but a lot of people are going to feel.
Totally. Because I feel like as a society, we have reached a point where, because we pride success and our careers and doing well and having it all above anything else, we by default have started to glamorize burnout, almost like, well, if you're not burnt out, you're not giving enough.
Yeah.
which is absolutely ridiculous. And it's made worse by the fact that you can go onto social media and see that someone's like still working, lol, at 10 p.m. on a Friday night, and you're like, oh my god, does that mean I'm not working hard enough? Because I'm not doing that. I logged off at 5, and you probably logged off at 5 because you managed your time really well that week and you worked hard in those hours. You don't know that the other person hasn't like procrastinated all day. But because we only filter in those little parts of people's experiences, we think everyone else is constantly working, constantly like hustling, constantly going after something else. So if we want to be more successful, we have to do more, because otherwise we can't possibly compete. And that just really isn't true. And I think the last year has been such a hard reset for so many of us in so many different ways, that as we come out of lockdown, we've got an opportunity to kind of see through this a little bit.
Yeah, I think we have, as a society, like massively internalized this idea that we should be working all the time and always showing our accomplishments, which obviously social media just makes so much more like damaging for people who see it. But it's actually just, it's not possible to have constant achievement all the time. It's not sustainable to be working at that level all the time. But we have it drilled into us from such a young age, from doing exams at school or getting your gold stars and who's top of the class to which university you get into, and then how competitive the job market is. At every single stage, you feel like you have to keep up with the demands of being the like best performing, the most competitive, the most accomplished, and being the most successful. And
yeah,
along the way, you lose sight of the fact that that's so unsustainable.
Yeah, we spend so much time and energy trying to compete with other people and please other people as well, and overexerting ourselves to try and be the best at everything and the most liked and the most respected. We don't even have any energy left for ourselves to draw those boundaries when we need them the most.
Yeah, I mean, do you remember first lockdown and everyone was like, oh, it's time to get your summer body and gonna start a new business and blah, blah, blah. And it was literally like lockdown had become a competition of who could achieve the most.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was that thing of, okay, well, I'm only working out 3 times a week and I know there's a pandemic and I'm really stressed and scared and I might lose my job and I don't know when I'll see my family, but I really should be working out more because otherwise I'm not good enough. It's ridiculous. And I feel like now we can look back on it and say that because we're not in it. But it goes by the same measure. Like, the working landscape's changed. I think in the past year there have been more conversations about what success actually looks like and how different it is to everyone, that has meant that we can now start looking back on how we used to glamorize burnout and still do to a large extent, and break it down a bit and have conversations.
Yeah, because I do feel like, and I know this might not be the case for everyone, but for me, obviously, once the initial, I say probably the second lockdown more so, but a lot of us had the time to reflect and realize that actually having this time where you're able to kind of disconnect from those expectations and the social expectations as well, I think that's a big thing that's really not focused on. Burnout isn't just work related, it's related to all aspects of your life. The expectation to always have a great social life and a great family and to be working out and eating healthy, like all of these other things that you're supposed to do. And having that second lockdown for me kind of acted as a time to reflect and realize that having this downtime is far more beneficial than I'd ever realized for mental health. Yes. And physical health.
I couldn't agree more. We've got so used to constantly being busy and pushing ourselves too much that when we all stopped, I think a lot of us, myself included, realized how good it was to take a break. And I think if you've ever been burnt out, you will know that in the moments where you are fully burnt out and you are at the end of your tether, you don't feel like you've succeeded or you've won. You feel like an absolute failure.
Yeah, when you get to that point, then you realize what is really glamorous is giving yourself a break and listening to your body and setting boundaries and having balance. But you don't ever realize that until it's too late. And I almost, like you said, this hard reset of where we've all been forced to slow down and now things are returning to normal, it's an opportunity to be more mindful of how we're expending our energy at work and how we're expending our energy when we're socializing, to so we're more aware before we reach the kind of point of no return with burnout.
I think that's a really important point, is reaching, like, not waiting till you reach the point of no return and recognizing things in your day-to-day life where you're like, oh, like maybe you miss something at work, or maybe you're not quite as chatty when you see your friends, or you're a bit short with your partner or something. Like those little things where you're like, oh, maybe things aren't quite right. And taking responsibility for that and saying, okay, I might not control the situation that has pushed me to this point, but I can take back some control to make sure I don't get fully burnt out, because it's not a good place to be. It's not a healthy place to be. It's not a productive place to be. And actually coming back from it takes so long, and it's so all encompassing. It isn't like, I think when we all think of burnout, we think of like the frazzled person being like, oh, I'm stressed, and maybe like having a breakdown, and the next day they're like, okay, I'm going to go to a spa and take a week off work and I'll be fine. And it's so much more than that.
Yeah.
And it takes so much more than that. And it's something you need to recover from. So if we can all take a bit more responsibility to go, I'm going to prevent it, especially now when we're not going out as much and the working landscape has changed. It's just such a important boundary to set.
Yeah, because it's quite deceiving, because when you're at that level of like performance and you're being really productive and you're getting loads of stuff done, you feel really good about yourself. And I think it's easy to not realize what's happening until it's too late. But the thing is, it's way harder to come back when you're from a complete burnout than if you suddenly stop yourself like partway through, when you're feeling that stress and the overwhelming panic, and just, you're so overwhelmed that you do nothing. You're kind of in that point of paralysis almost. That I think if we can be more aware of our energy levels, especially as we're coming out of lockdown, and how much energy we're expending on every part of our life, then you're almost, you can be more aware of what is serving you and what isn't.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I feel like, I don't know if you'd agree with this, I feel like burnout almost feels like you're running a marathon or something, and you're feeling great, like, you know, you're running your personal best and you're doing really well and people are cheering you on, and then you keep running and you keep running and you keep running, and then all of a sudden you cross the finish line and you look around and no one's there because they've all gone home, and you're like, oh, I've done it, and I should feel great, but I feel exhausted, like every part of my body is on fire and I feel like hell. And it's that moment where you stop, and it's so hard to come back from that. It then almost feels like completely overwhelming.
Yeah. No,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think a big part of that, especially as we're coming out of lockdown, because the temptation is, if you're going back to work, like if you're going back into the office or you're going out and meeting friends again, the temptation is to do all of the things, isn't it? Like, and you get FOMO and you see everyone else doing it online and you want to book that meal out and you want to be back in the office and having office drinks. And that's great. And I'm definitely saying, if you want to do that, you should do it. But I think evaluate your old ways, because I know for me, before the pandemic, I would book up every weekend. I would aim to be booked up every weekend. I would work all week and then have social things happening Saturday and Sunday, often out of the city that I lived in. So I would be traveling. I would get home on a Sunday night and I would be exhausted. And then I had to get up early the next morning and go to work and do it all again. And it was a perpetual cycle of exhaustion. And now I've had that time to reflect and I just know I can't go back to it.
Yeah, I think when you realise how good it feels to have a bit more balance and to feel a bit more rested, I don't ever want to go back to feeling like that. And of course, it's easy to say, and so many things can happen and you can have the best expectations. But it goes back to what we're saying about responsibility and boundaries. Like, if you can acknowledge the good things that have come from the past year and the good lessons that have come from it, they're so valuable going into like this new way of how everything now is.
Yeah, I think if we're looking at kind of tips for avoiding burnout as we're coming out of lockdown, I'm almost seeing it as like a chance to redesign how I want my life to look. And I know that sounds, that sounds more drastic than it is, because I want to make a plan for how, like schedule in my downtime. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but I think it has to be done if you want to make well-being a priority, which you have to avoid burnout.
Because if you have like a list of important work tasks to do, you write it down and you schedule it in and you prioritize it. And actually, what's more important than your own well-being and health? Nothing.
Yeah, you can't do the other stuff unless you're well and healthy. Like, you, if you've got a long to-do list, burnout is not going to help you do it.
Exactly. And I think scheduling it in is such a good way to do it as well. If you're someone who is a bit like us and is a bit of, I guess some people might say a bit hypocritical, because we do and have in the past pushed ourselves a bit far, and we like to be busy and to be productive and get things done. And I do think that's fine, but you then do need to say, like, okay, feeling rested is really good, and put it like, I want to do it, but it doesn't come naturally. So therefore, actually scheduling in the time and making it a priority makes such a difference.
Yeah. And I think, yes, maybe we do sound hypocritical, but I mean, that's why we're having this conversation, because we've taken the time to evaluate and realize that we need to change. And there's nothing wrong at all with saying, okay, I was not really doing it the right way before. I need to make some changes to my life. I think that's great if you can have that self-reflection and awareness to see what areas you need to change. And that might be looking at like how you're expending your energy, the people around you that you're expending it on, or if certain activities make you feel anxious. Like for me, I know that I don't want to get on public transport anytime soon. The thought of doing that makes me feel stressed. So as I'm coming out of lockdown, I'm just thinking, okay, what can I do that's within walking distance, or I can drive to, or just minimizing how I'm expending energy that's kind of draining energy and not giving me anything back.
Yes. And I think linked to that really nicely is focusing where you are putting your energy, and remembering that you don't have to do huge things in order to prevent the burnout. You don't have to like take a week off work, go to a spa, go on holiday. It is those little things that, like, noticing where your energy is going. Maybe it's that you make sure the 15 minutes before you go to bed, like, you get off your screen and you relax before you go to sleep so you are better rested. Or, you know, maybe it's making sure that actually at 6 p.m. every night, that's it, you do stop working. And you try and set that boundary. And it's the little things you do every single day that are going to form those really healthy habits that are more sustainable as well. Because, yeah, taking a week off is great and going away is brilliant, and we've all like definitely come back and felt more refreshed, but it isn't always the answer, and it's not always as accessible or easy to do.
That's more like, it helps the symptom, but it's not the cure.
Yeah, totally. It's a perfect way of putting it. To actually prevent burnout long term, you need to find ways to actually make your everyday life kind of work alongside your well-being.
Yeah, I think another big part of that in terms of small changes to make is avoid comparison, especially on social media.
Yes.
I just
couldn't agree more.
Yeah, and it is so easy to do. I do it as well. I mean, when lockdown started easing, obviously Taylor left like right before the first like roadmap change here in the UK. And I was just constantly comparing myself to, oh, I could have been doing this with Taylor, we could have been doing this, we could have been doing that, and all my friends are seeing each other, and it wasn't healthy for me. And it, like, completely different situation. Obviously no one else I know is in the current situation that I'm in with Taylor. So what's even the point of me comparing myself? Like, I had to really take a step back and have a long, hard look at myself and be like, what are you doing? it's not helpful. And I came off social media for a couple of days, or like, it helped so much, and just kind of reset and rethink, no, what do I want in my life to make me feel more balanced and prioritize what I want to do more as we're kind of returning to normal.
I think that's a really good point, is none of us have had, even though we've, you know, you keep hearing it everywhere, even though we've all been in the same storm, we've been in different boats for the past year or so. And I think we need to remember that as we come out of lockdown, because whilst it might look like loads of us are in the same situation, we've all experienced this differently. We've all been through different things, we're all in different circumstances. And I saw a really brilliant post, actually. I'll try and find it. And we'll share it on the Instagram, actually, because I think it was an Instagram post. We'll share it on the Growth in Progress pod Instagram. But it was saying how exactly that thing of don't just go back to your normal life and not question it. Like, don't you fucking dare start, like, expecting yourself or everyone else to go for expensive meals every day and that be your only way of socializing. Like, keep doing the walks, keep sitting in people's gardens and having drinks, because it's just another added pressure.
Yeah.
And before, I wouldn't have thought anything of it, but now I'm like, actually, no, it is nice to just go for a walk or go and sit in a friend's garden. It doesn't have to be expensive, and it takes another pressure off of you. And it's all those little things that will help.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be key as well, realizing that obviously, yes, the last year has not been ideal at all, but there's a fair few aspects of it for me which I would like to carry into the year to come, like having daily walks and like having Zoom calls or phone chats with friends more regularly. Like, there are aspects of it that I don't want to lose just because we've gone back to a kind of more pre-pandemic way of life.
Couldn't agree more. I want us to keep the nice things, because although the last year has been traumatic, there have been some good lessons to come out of it. And I think if you've also had the opportunity to sit back and just have like a think about how your life was and how your life is now and the positive things you can bring into it, then it's a really brilliant opportunity. It is, or at least hopefully, a once in a lifetime opportunity. So let's make the most of that.
Yeah.
We hope you found this episode really useful and it's opened up the conversation surrounding burnout and how we glamorize it. If you have any thoughts that you want to share, please don't forget to get in touch with the contact details in our show notes. And of course, you can always reach out to us on our Instagram page as well. In the meantime, have a great week, stay safe, and we will speak to you soon. Bye.
Bye.